Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Our respected Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, will speak about the syllabus of the madrasas in current times, contemporary times, and he would feel that there was a void in certain respects. Since all the emphasis is about Fatiha Khalful Imam or Amin Bisir or Jahar. A lot of emphasis is on these masail. Amin should be recited aloud, and should the Muqtadi recite the Surah Fatiha behind the Imam. Quite a bit of emphasis is on this. But as the student graduates and he goes out, then he's an imam, or he's an ustad, or he's taken a certain position. In all that, the greatest emphasis is on his values, what values he's got. Call that values adab, call it akhlaq, call it man being straight and clear, whatever name you name it with. But the adab and the akhlaq of the person is viewed all the time. His domestic life, it is watched and observed. His public life, it is watched and observed. In his business transaction, it is watched and observed. In the masjid, it is seen how he behaves himself, how he conducts himself. So there isn't a moment where he's not observed. And then strangely, this chapter or this department of deen, we do it in a rush. So we feel, well, these hadiths all know about it, adab, akhlaq, mu'asharat, we all know about it. So what's the need to get into it so deeply? So this is how we think. Not realizing that this is watched and observed, that is a secondary thing that people watch and observe it. But the primary thing is, when we don't apply this adab into our lives, these values, then the more worse thing is that people get hurt. Because we didn't apply the right adab at the right time. We didn't show the right value when it was required. When you didn't show it, so someone would hurt. Someone got offended. Someone was grieved and pained. Why? Because you didn't show the adab that was required at that moment. I explained last week as well that in the past people had values, and now also people have values, but in the past the value was about the person himself, to make the person a human being. And now the man is valuable as per the amount of money that he can make. So what is his value? This he can make. So that is his value. And this aspect that make him a proper human being, that is totally neglected. If he's a good human being, then nobody will be hurt at his hands. Now, the simple definition that is given in the kitabs about good adab, what is adab? Simple definition is that مَا يُمْدَحُ شَرْعًا وَعَادَةً, right? What is liked and approved by the Sharia, and what is liked and approved by people as well. So what is liked and approved by people, what is liked and approved by the Sharia. So both. You see the both, now you're getting adab, you're getting akhlaq. Now in anything that you are doing, you have to see now, do you stand by these two standards, that you conform to these standards, that your words, your behavior, your silence, your movement, is it approved by the Sharia? It is approved by people. It is not that there is something that's deficient. So, مَا يُمْدَحُ سَرْعًا وَلُغَةً, both ways. Then, The second thing to observe in this adab is that what is approved by the Sharia. There may be some things that may be called values, you got very good values, but is not recognized by the Sharia. Like people would say that they are in a corporate environment, in a business, right? And the corporate environment requires that you speak to the woman, look at her and speak to her, right? So you say, you know, this person has got a lot of respect. But ye kya khak adab hai? This is dirt, it's filth. That filth is now counted as adab. They have redefined things. Things have been redefined. What was filth is counted as adab. And what is adab is counted as filth. The Sharia says, no, don't even look at her. Sharia says that she is not supposed to be in the workplace. Sharia says you're not supposed to be casual with her. Especially if it's a young woman, right? Old woman now, nowadays they say 80 and above 80. So, there's no feelings, right? But younger than that, and everybody as it is, old hags also, they want to behave like young. Maybe the lipstick and the powder, all that goes. Old woman, over 60 or so, just put all these things here. Right? So now, even the hags, but now, the person that is unwary, he feels, hey, no, hey, she's a beaut. There's no beaut. Kya beaut hai? Kachara hai? You know, she's already past 60, 70 now. What's a beauty in that? It's just the attraction that she's made up. Right? So all these things come, where it comes from, is that hubbud dunya. See, we're talking of Palestine, all that. But we don't realize that there is something deep within us that's lacking. And that is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam predicted, hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. That the attachment to the dunya is too much. And the aversion to death is too much. Everybody was saying, I must get saved, I must get saved. And the attachment to dunya is too much. Overwhelming. So that's the essence. The help of Allah Ta'ala can come now, straight. I ask you that Allah Ta'ala's treasures, is there any deficiency in it? Come now, straight it can come. But then become eligible to this help of Allah Ta'ala. How do you become eligible? So nobody is asking, how do we draw from the treasure of Allah Ta'ala? Now, what does do now? You have to say, what does do now? We'll fight. That's the question they will ask. But very seldom do you get a person asking, alright, how do we attract the assistance of Allah Ta'ala? Because إِيَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. He's on your side, nobody can do you anything. وَيَخْذُلْكُمْ. But if he forsakes you, then who can come and help you? So what is needed to be seen, understood and looked into is how do we draw from the treasure of Allah Ta'ala? How do we draw? What do we do? So certain things have got certain properties. Right? And it must happen. Everything has got a property, it's got a nature. Right? So, if you bring that about, you add that ingredient, then you will get the right result. Why? Because that's its very nature, its property. A knife will cut, right? So, provided it's sharp. Total blunt knife, you know? Absolute blunt, then. Let's say you said, no, knife can cut, knife cuts, can kill you. But nothing happening here. But, so, understand that knife has to meet up and conform to certain requirements. It conforms to the requirement, it will do the damage. But it doesn't conform then you need to check within yourself. You say, sugar sweetens, right? Then, there are certain requirements for the sugar to sweeten. Now you've got, Murisma put up the tank now, 20,000 liters, huh? 20,000 liters, right? So one tank is 20,000. And I said, no, sugar sweetens. So you put two together, so you go to that 20,000 liters and you put one spoon of sugar. More than speaking, open lie, white lie. What a big lie, you know, what a great sin to speak a lie. You said the sugar sweetens, added sugar, but nothing happened. Yeah, bring the sugar in the right proportion. You brought in the right proportion, you will get the right result. But now you got 20,000 liters and you brought one teaspoon of sugar and you want the thing to do the work. Is it right? So, Allah Pak also says, to draw from my treasures, there are certain requirements. You fulfill the criteria and you will see the results. But nobody is prepared to do that, nobody is wanting to think like that. The Quran says how clear it says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُ. So what he wants from you? That iman must be right and righteousness. There must be iman and there must be righteousness. And with iman and righteousness, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُ, he'll make you the leaders, he'll appoint you. Well, now you think, well, no, I want to become the leader. And Rabbah, don't put me through this whole procedure. I just want to become the leader. So Allah Ta'ala is, you can't subject him to your whims and fancies. You got an idea, and you must subject Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to your idea, to your thinking. What will happen? One person wrote an email, said, if Allah Ta'ala can do everything, right, then why doesn't Allah make me a multi-millionaire straight away now? So I had to answer that person, that if it were that the whole world had to operate like how people think, right, then there would be no world. Because he'll say, Allah Ta'ala bring Qiyamah now. And he will say, Allah Ta'ala, جَعَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا, perpetual night, night all the time. And he'll say, Allah Ta'ala, only rain all the time. And he'll say, Allah Ta'ala, all the time must be the sunshine. What happened to the world? If Allah Ta'ala has to conform and agree to every person's taste, then will there be any dunya then? The dunya will be finished. So he's got certain standards in place, and the world will operate in that system. And understand the system of Allah Ta'ala, then you will have a direction. But now you don't want to understand the system, and we want things to happen like how we feel. One is this, right? Second is, a lot of time I have to shout aunties, right? Woman, shout them. Because now, they were a child, and there's a big, big mashwara and an istikhara, what name to keep, right? So I don't say don't keep a good name, you put keep a good name for the child. But more than looking for a good name, plant good values into the child. Now, you felt that the biggest task after getting a child was to look for an excellent name. Name that unheard of, nobody heard of. Hood. Nobody heard of, nobody keeps that name. I keep that name. So that's not the idea. The idea is a good name, but 50 times more is it's important that you teach and plant the right values into the child. See, these people in the old, they had all these things. They had it right. So their advantage was they carried on a very simple life and their minds were mixed up with Westernism, secularism, wasn't mixed up. So they just held on to what they had heard from their elders. They held on to that. So when they held on to that, their lives were very smooth and not complicated. And now what has happened to us is that we got our teachings and plus Westernism, secularism, modernism, all this, all mixed up, right? Socialism, atheism, everything mixed up. I mean, all that kachumar, now you have to take out the good value. So what a complication you got, right? You went for it. You are to blame that you went for it. You went for it, you muddled the whole mind. So I was asking the students, you know, where they talk about beliefs. So there's a question now, that beliefs, to what level you must learn the belief. So there's one isolated opinion that you need to know all the arguments of the philosophers and the scientists and then find the answers. You need to know their objections, and after you understood the objections and get the answers, then only will your iman be acceptable by Allah Ta'ala. But that's an isolated and refuted argument, right? Because if it was that you have to bring it to that level, science, technology, and philosophy, and then only your iman will be acceptable, then I think in whole South Africa, you may get about 5-10 people. And all the scientific arguments and the answers to it and counter answers to it, five children. So how many Yusuf left now? See. So then, the right answer is this. A villager, a person in the village, he'll say, Al-ba'aratu tadullu alal ba'ir. Wal-asaru tadullu alal insan, right? That when you saw dung in the open plain, you saw dung, right? That's an indication that there was a camel that passed. And you saw footprints, right? Then that indicates that a man went past. فَهَذِي السَّمَاءُ ذَاتُ الْأَبْرَاجِ فَهَذَا الْأَرْضُ ذَاتُ الْفِجَاجِ This broad sky, this heaven of us, we cannot see the end, right? And then, so much the science has to speak about the heaven, right? Saying that a star, or that thing is light to reach the earth, then so many hundreds of years it takes just for the light to reach the earth. Whereas the light travels at 100,000, some odd an hour, right? 100,000 kilometers an hour, right? But with all that, it takes so many years for the light just to reach the earth. So can you understand how vast the heavens are? Mind-boggling, right? Computers will fail. So this heaven, the sky that Allah Ta'ala has created, right, with all the systems that run into the sky, right? All the systems, the stars, galaxies, the setting, the rising, the wind direction, the cloud movement, right? All this is happening, the rising of the sun, setting, accuracy, precision work, right? You see it all the time. So all that's going on in the heaven, and all that's going on the earth, right? The vegetation, the growth, right? The production, and the vastness of the earth, the capacity for production, everything is produced from the earth, right? Everything that comes up, comes from the earth, right? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا What a kudrat of Allah Ta'ala, what a kudrat, look at it. Allah has made the earth such, كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا That the earth joins up the dead and the living. Right? The dead in its belly, and the living on its surface. So it joins both the dead inside and the living on top. As you pass on, you're going down. As you come in, you're coming up. Up, down all the time. Hamawat up, down karta insan. It's coming up and going down. Coming up and going down. But that one earth is doing all the work. Can you see that? So, now this villager is saying, in his understanding, the dung, you don't want to accept that it just came there. You know, there were some natural forces, and the wind was going like that, and then there were some gases that was emitted, and then some atoms fell, and you know, the dung came about. Someone give you a scientific story. So for the small little filth, you cannot imagine that it just came by science. Can't see that. Nobody see. Somebody speaks and they say, this person is mad. You're wasting your time. Same now, you saw some footprints, they said, oh, some atomic forces and gases came in, and nuclear and photons and proton, everything came. But you don't listen to the story. It's madness. It can't happen. Won't you, the best scientist come and tell you, he says, I think you're a little bit too usiyar for us. Move away. Won't you say that? It's too usiyar. So the small little footprint and the dung, you cannot believe that it just came like that. So this heavens with all its systems, the earth with all its production and beauty, did it just come up like that? So now, it says, for that villager, that amount of understanding is sufficient for his iman to be right. Now when I come to this point here, then I ask the class, right? Now, the one that went to Western, secular, modern education, right? And his mind got all muddled. Then it's obligatory that he flushes his mind from all this for his iman to be right. Otherwise, his whole life will be, hey, is this right? This atheism, this Darwinism, this monkeyism, or is it right? All the time his mind will be in doubt. So then, when his mind is in doubt, then his iman is right. So for that person, who just requires that type of information, for the clarity of his mind, that level of understanding was sufficient. But that person who spoiled his mind, he polluted his mind, right? So if you take in poison, right, then you require some good type of a medication to flush your system. So you caused it, you took that, right, pollution. You polluted yourself, you took a poison, now you need to flush your mind, get your mind cleared. But the person didn't take it, does he need to flush his system? He doesn't need to take that. Yes, the person that polluted the mind, he must take these things here and flush his system to get his system working right. But the person that didn't take it, he got no obligations. His system is working right, he's comfortable, he's got no problems, no complications. Now you brought the complications, so go and flush it out. And you didn't bring those complications, so you got nothing to worry about. See? So Allah Pak is promising, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Iman, get your iman right, and get the righteousness right. Get both right. After you got that right, then what will happen? لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّمْ. Allah Pak will make you leaders. How it will happen, that's not your business. That will happen, it will happen in its time. That small child, he's in grade 1 or grade 2, right? Father says, you do well in your examinations, I'll buy you a Merc, right? He's in grade 2, he's got a little peanut size of a brain, right? He says, now my father is promising me a Merc if I get through nicely. But can he afford it? He can't afford it. Let me do something on the side, you know. Sell some peanuts, monkey nuts, and popcorn, all that. I'll contribute to this year. Right? In the meanwhile, he went and did all that, and he lost the cause of his action. What happened? He failed. So he failed here, he failed. Both ways he failed. Khasira dunya wal akhirah. He lost here, he lost here. Father told him, "Bhai, listen to me. I'm an honest man. I'll respect my word. You do well, and I'll make that thing available to you." I used to know, how is my father going to work it out? How is he going to get it? You didn't trust him. You didn't rely on him. You don't have the confidence in him. Now you put yourself into problems. So the same happens here. There's one system, one law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all we need to do is just respect the system, follow the system, trust the system of Allah ta'ala. That is His system. He has created the world, so He is the maker. Now that's such a simple foregone solution. He manufactured a machine, right? He made the computer for that motor car, right? So just refer to him and you'll get all the answers. Now you have to break the thing, try to work it out. Think you 50 years, you can't get it out of it. The simple thing is the one that made it, refer to him. He's got the manual, he's got the whole thing, the whole machine before him. And you'll say, oh, press this button here, do this. Very simply, you'll get it right. But now you want to use a complicated thing. So, we're talking of values. Values are the thing that attracts the help of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak says, يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. And again he says, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. You help me, I will help you. But then you need to understand that what is helping Allah Ta'ala? Number one, what are the right values? What do you mean by right values? If you understand that, then you come right. Because that value is such an important thing. أَسْكَلُ شَيْءٍ فِي الْمِيزَانِ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. I spoke about the world. In the hereafter, the weightiest thing, thing that will bring the greatest weight, is good values, right values. That's the weight. أَسْكَلُ شَيْءٍ فِي الْمِيزَانِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. The weightiest thing is good value. Have you got the good value, right value? And the value will be that what is defined by the Quran Sharif itself. Otherwise, everybody got his own value. Everybody, what he'll talk about values, he's got his own thinking. You know, you got your daughter's wedding on, you know. You need to do it like this. Have a bouquet, have a dance, have a pedal jamaat first, you know. The whole rush, have a pedal jamaat and have a tournament, boy versus the girl. Then, and then, you know, you need to have a mixed crowd. You can't be too backwards. And you have to read the, you have to have a music going on, all these things going on. Then you call it a wedding. Now, you have conformed to our standards and values. So everybody's got his own mind about good values. But does that conform to the standard of Allah Ta'ala? Does that conform? So nobody wants to know what conforms to the standard that Allah Ta'ala has set. So the need of the time is not to get into the news, not to get into anything. Ask yourself and ask ourselves that what are the standards that are required by Allah Ta'ala to be able to draw from His treasure? Ask. Whoever it is, alim or no alim, mujahid or not mujahid, but he needs to ask what are the values prescribed by Allah Ta'ala that we can then, the values like the key. You try now, push the door, open it, break it, not open it, vault it, big heavy vault. Why is that opening? Push it, break a bang, a hammer, or use some, whatever the machine, but nothing doing. By a simple thing, just understand the key, or press the code, and you open it up. No, you avoided that, you went and used your own mind, own intelligence. No, man, you just press buttons and open up. No, can't happen. Bring a saw, bring a machine to break that vault. It will happen. So, Allah has already laid it out. But now, we'll have to define what is good values. Right values we'll have to define. So, several ulama kiram have defined good values. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, right, is amongst those muhaddiseen that nobody has made kalam against him. Nobody has spoken about him. Because every person is alright, he was good in everything else, but his memory was slightly weak. He was good, but his memory changed toward the latter part of his life. He was good, but he was slightly inclined towards bidat, right? When they're making a critical analysis, they won't leave anybody. But this person is such that nobody condemns him, nobody criticizes him. 4 months of his life is in learning and teaching. 4 months is in jihad, right? And 4 months is in business. So it's an all-rounder. Business, jihad, and teaching. So all-round. He is defining. What is defining? He is defining what is good values. He says three things. After he studied, and he's a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Bukhari quotes him, learns from him, right? So you can imagine now, what level this man is, Imam Bukhari is quoting from him, and he's a student of Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi. So he summarizes it in just three things. One is bastul wajh, a smiling face. So that smiling face was the characteristic of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, da'imul bisharati, always a smiling face. Now, we will reverse the whole thing. Amongst the friends, for a smiling face, all that, right? At home, 12 o'clock. No smile, no appreciation, no gratitude, nothing, absolutely nothing. Children, a very straight face. Wife, very straight face. But amongst the friends, everybody, showing a smiling face. Why? The hadith himself is showing a smiling face. But the hadith was only for your outside life or your domestic life as well. So the hadith was for both, for your outside life and your domestic life. Now you are having a seductive attitude that for one occasion you got a very pulled up face and then another occasion that you got a smiling face. Why? What's the difference? What's the reason? Da'imul bishra. Or if it's A woman, then you got a smiling face. More, especially when it's a stranger, right? You got a smiling face. Got a sweet voice and a smiling face. Now, you know, some aunties like your voice, and you're making imamats here now, right? So if you chew it up rightly, that auntie may start that person. See, where your mind is. Where your mind is. So you see these values. Get the value system right. Now we are not worried about the value system. We just want to know why we're catching it. In the day of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he sent his army to Alexandria, I think it's part of Egypt. Now, days are going on end, and he's not finding any joy. So they ask for reinforcements. We laid a siege to this place here, but we're not finding any joy. We need some reinforcement. Umar replies straight, "Not one person am I sending down. No reinforcement at all." You introspect. What's the problem within you? You introspect. Why? We are worried about what? Public opinion. So the news, go to the news, make a noise, make a public march. Mullah Imtiaz had a program in some university, right? So as he just got into the university, so there was a white, new Muslim, accepted Islam just for 3 years, whatever he was studying, medicine or whatever. So he came to receive Mullah. So the normal discussion will be around, as you start on the talk, alright, what brought you to Islam? So he says that, you know, I found a lot of uneasiness within myself, and I was looking for some type of chain and sukoon, some type of tranquility and peace. Then, very restless, I looked into science, philosophy and all that, but that thing had a big void, very empty. A lot of glossy words, big words, but it was totally void, nothing. So I studied everything, I dumped the thing, finished. Because it couldn't give me that satisfaction that I was looking for. I understood the concept, but I saw it's total void. Then I jumped from there to Buddhism and to becoming a monk. Now, in Arabic you say Rahbaniya. Rahbaniya, right? So I went from here, I crossed over to this. But when I crossed over and I studied this thing, I found there was a great deficiency as well. I studied very well, but I saw there was a great deficiency in this as well. Then at length I saw one Tabligh Jamaat or something. Then something happened, something triggered my anxiety, and I linked up to Islam, studying Islam. And then before I knew it, they made my tashkil for 3 days. Tashkil, Jamaat, what else were they called? But are you ready? Not ready. One musallif in the top masjid, by Asma, by Nabi Naud, Asma is name. Remember? Hassan, huh? Asma. See, I don't know what these Jamaat people are, man. All of them are gynees, man. Whenever you see them, say, how many months? So they got only one business, just to take you out. Right? So that's their business. You have to invest that how many months, how many days you prepared for. Right? So these people, I just thought of Islam, and before I knew it, they tashkeen me for 3 days. Then I saw Islam alive. Now, for everything, there was a direction, there was a way, there was a formula, and they're doing it diligently. Sleeping, what is the adab of sleeping? Somebody is sick, how are you going to visit him? There was an answer. There was a satisfaction, there was a solution for anything of life. How do you sleep? How do you eat? How do you get up? How do you live your life? What's the marital life like? You know, everything, they had a solution, everything had a structure. So, it was so intelligently engineered, it can't be man's work. It's definitely Allah Pak's work. Every situation, they had a solution, they had an answer, engineered to the level of precision and accuracy. So that thing gave me that satisfaction. So anyway, when I was talking to him, and there was a march, students are marching of Palestine. So Well, I just wanted to know what's going on here. So you have to see now a new Muslim and how he sees, how he looks at it. So he said, this is nothing, man. He's saying, this is nothing. So what makes you say that this is nothing? He says, they are walking towards the creation. And they need to walk towards the creator. They're marching towards the creation. In other words, what he's saying? He's saying, they are marching to appease the creation. So what public opinion, what we have, you know, we'll take photos of ourselves, you know, we'll come up in television, we'll come the news, and probably the world will get shaken, we'll be protesting, right? So, the greater concern is public opinion. It must be aired, take out this news here, this tabloid, take out this photo here, show, and the public opinion must come on to your side. What can the public do? Today they would you, tomorrow they're against you. So what can the public do? You got the public opinion all on your side, but then where? After that, I think we passed the stage here. All these protest marches and all that. So we are consumed with what the public will say. They must support us. And then whatever it takes to get the public opinion right, we are prepared to do it. Compromise with kafirs, Hindus, Christians, everybody, one single march, men, women start protesting. But if that was the solution, then I ask you, when the Muslims are being persecuted in Makkah Mukarrama, when they're being killed, when they're being harassed, when they're not boycotted, they would have told Bilal, all these people would have said, hey, let's make a protest march. All of us will protest, go in the streets of Makkah Mukarrama, we'll protest, and see, we'll have the public supporting us. If that was the solution, they would have thought about it. And this thing didn't require any machinery, just a protest march. But because the kuffar, the nasara, the kuffar are doing it, so we need to imitate the kuffar so that we'll get our things right. So, Nabi Sam was incomplete. Today, now, you have to get another leader to fill the void. Why? Because the Nabi was incomplete. Now, that's what you're saying. That's what you're alluding. See, we're not using our minds. Everything that the kuffar do, we have to imitate. We have to imitate in order to be in line. Now, you're talking of women's education, right? Women's education. They need to stand. They need to be independent. They need to stand for themselves. What happens? What will happen if something happens to them? So, approximately 1300 years past, women were not educated. Muslim women were not educated, right? Now, suddenly, one bright spark comes up and he says, you know, what a great deal, what a great treasure of human resources are wasted. Now, that thing sounds too catchy. It catches the heart, right? Catchphrases. But what are you alluding? And it's somebody saying, you know, if you understand that thing well, you see that the worst kafir won't say this word. The worst type of a kafir won't say this word, because what it means, that when Rasulullah Paksan told the Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahl al-Jannah, al-Fatima, that your home is your place. Home is your place. You look after your husband. See to the house. That means, na'uzubillah, Rasulullah Paksan had misguided her. Her work was to become, because she's the Sayyidatu Nisa'i, she's supposed to be leading. And nobody talks about it. That Rasulullah Paksan directed his daughter, that is the Sayyidatu Nisa, queen of the women of Jannah, to the house. Yes, we'll talk about this. So we're looking for solution in Christianity, in Westernism, socialism, and trying to fix it, trying to put it into Islam, trying to squeeze Islam into it. So how can a nation ever prosper? You're looking for solution in Christianity, in Judaism, everywhere else. Everywhere, you know. Whatever they're doing, must do it. Now, you're saying that, all right, so-and-so, Akabir also, you know, they joined hands with this person and this kafir and that kafir. Why? They didn't join hands. They didn't join hands with Shias. They didn't join hands with Christians. They didn't join hands. But it's misquoted. Out of context. What happened there? Understand what happened, right? Well, let me show you how it happens, right? For you to understand it rightly. Rasulullah Pasam came to Madinah Munawwarah, right? So there are different communities living in Madinah Munawwarah. Jews, polytheists, all this, right? Now there's injustice in, you know, just one simple example of an injustice. You've got two very prominent tribes in the Jews, Banu Nazir, Banu Qurayza, right? Banu Nazir is the upper class, Balito living, right? And Banu Qurayza is Pingo Beach, right? So upper class and lower class. So if it is that Balito, Banu Nazir now, right? Banu Nazir commits an act of zina, then they will just give him some light punishment, don't do it again, carry on. Right? But if it's someone from Spingo that is doing the same wrong, then the Torah says such a person must be stoned to death. They enforce the law. I say, is it justice or not? Is it in conformity with justice? No. So if it is a wrong, then the penalty must be applicable to the wealthy and to the poor. It must apply to people of all class, same penalty. What is this rank differences? Rank differences, yes, if I'm receiving a guest, I will treat the person differently. If it's my father that I'm receiving, I'll treat him differently. If it's an ordinary beggar, then I will treat him differently. That I should do. That's the teaching of Islam. Anzilun nasa manazilahum. But this penalty, etc., what is the reason for this type of a disparity? So this type of injustice will be taking place. If there was a murder, then the Banu Qurayza, if there was a murder in the Banu Qurayza, they will give some, about a ton of dates and square it up. Right? Banu Qurayza, that's a lower class, Pingo, right? One ton. But if the same murder was committed in the Banu Nazir, then, right, then you have to give 5 tons of dates, and you kill the perpetrator as well. So, was it fair? So now, Rasulullah says, listening to all these differences, no, we must see that justice prevails here. Injustice must be wiped out from this place entirely. So now, there is some type of injustice, breach of trust, breach of law, all that's going on. There's a constitution already signed up, agreed, and someone is breaking it, right? So when someone is breaking it, now you need to negotiate and bring it online. So Rasulullah is going to the Banu Nazir to bring some sanity, some direction. There's some problems that are taking, I don't say the nature of the problem, but problems are taking place, and Rasulullah wants to bring some sanity, direction. Understand the whole context. Now, to bring about some direction, he had to go to them, to bring it back to justice, to conform to right standards, right? He had to go to them. So will you say now Rasulullah went into the Jews, so he had hands in hand with the Jews, and he was, will you say that? No. So hey, there was injustice, but there was injustice, he had to go and negotiate, and go and talk to them, to bring about justice. Otherwise, today, tomorrow, if there's a burglary in your house, and you went to the South African police, say, Astaghfirullah, you call the kuffar here. How could you ever get the help of Allah Ta'ala? Call the Nasara, the Jews, you call them. So you mustn't go to the police. So you see, they have to take the help to bring about some type of a just system. In order for justice to prevail, he had to get agreement from them. Otherwise, it would be one side, only the laws of justice are only applicable to Muslims, not to the others. So that was the reason for going to these people. Now if you look at our Kabir, now, I could give you this as a prelude to understand. If they went to someone, non-Muslim, right, or a Shia, whatever, they went for this reason, to wipe out injustice. There was a lot of injustice from the side of the English, so they had to wipe out the injustice. So I had you to agree, then can we wipe out the injustice. But if I'm doing it myself, and you're not cooperating, can I get the justice? I'm just one small percentage. If you have that number, that person, I got all this now, the injustice is wiped out. So that was the reason our elders went to these people. Not that they joined hands with Shia, no, with Hindu, what for that? Otherwise, you talk of compromising on Dini standards, then they were very, very firm, very strong. Although they needed the non-Muslim, to wipe out the elements of injustice, but not at the expense of any Islamic value. Hazrat Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah, let me show you. Madani Sahib Rahmatullah, I thought we have more Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, he is a representative of Hazrat Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah, he is a representative. So let me show you the standard that they maintain. Although they needed this person to wipe out the injustice, like you need the police, the kafir police, to wipe out injustice, don't you need? Right? Something is all, you know, whether to quote or not to quote. One person came here, so his wife tried to throttle him. So he called the police. Police locked up, right? So she tried to throttle. So he did the right thing. He didn't respond. Now he's worried now, did I do the right thing? So she had to call that kafir for what? To save his life and not to get implicated. If he didn't do this and he snatched her down, then she would have sued him to be taken into court. So in order to get the justice right and save the life, he needed to file a report. And he got it right. Although in the process he had to jail her, but he had to do this thing. Now you didn't understand the whole context. I just said our Kabir joined hand with Shias, non-Muslim, by the miscode. There's not understanding. Selective reporting. Right. Our Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah has just returned from Malta prison, right? He's come back after 3 years of imprisonment. And now, at the Bombay harbor, there's a crowd of over 1 million people, all mixed up, Muslims, Hindus. And there's a Nara Takbir, Allahu Akbar. And in that whole thing, that one couple of the Hindus now, they said, they said, Shaykhul Hind ka Jai, right? Jai means like victory, the victory of Shaykhul Hind. Right? When he heard these words, he said, stop it straight away. Without delay, no delay. Stop this straight away. Right? Can you see this man, one single person, but he is grounding in Islam without any compromise whatsoever. So some Muslim objected, but Jai means victory, so what's wrong with that? Another reply was, though it is victory, but it's got Hindu connotations. It's used in Hinduism, right? So we don't want to dilute our things. Now you doing all these things here, right? Going into a church, going into a temple, whatever else, right? Going all that. Is it dilution or not of values? And then you have to attribute this whole thing to Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullah. So really you are a salah. Whoever is doing it is a salah. You know, I felt so miserable when I heard this. It's a real sellout. For your small little material ends, and use these people's names. Then it came from the Hindu quarters that it's not compulsory for you to slaughter a cow, right? The Qurbani is valid. The sheep, or the goat, it'll be valid. Why insist? That year, the Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah made sure that the most amount of Qurbani was done in the whole of India. That this is amongst the symbols of Islam. When you say, Budna ja'alnaha lakum min sha'a'illah, Budun literally means something with a big mass. So, animals with a big mass is what? A camel or a cow. A goat, can you call it a big mass? No. Budun literally means an animal with a big mass, huge mass. So he made sure that he did it. So now, you linking yourself with this type of people for the wrong end, so it really got me upset. Whatever it is, but don't mix these people's names. They stood up for some values that was far beyond you. You doing it for material ends. And the material ends also is wrong. The material ends that you are doing it for is wrong. Why it's wrong? You look in the whole world now, the leaders, are they drowned in corruption or not? So if you're supporting them, Are you supporting the cause of corruption or of justice? Every system is failing. Look in England, look anywhere, right? Every system is failing, right? Hospitals failing, roads are not right, right? School education, everything is down. Government officials are living on corruption and bribery, right? So that is what you're supposed to be fighting for, justice, bring justice. Because the Muslim stood for justice. This Musulmanuddin, they stood for justice to wipe out injustice. And you are fighting for injustice. So are you on the same line of them, with them? And then you bravely take this person's name. It's brazen, really. Really. It's brazen. It's absolute injustice what you're doing. Ek toh aap buzurgon ko jante nahi, you don't understand them, and then use them for your material ends. Now, we did something for the COVID, so we got so many millions. We don't want to say the figure, but we got the amount. So your idea is to get the amounts, but the amounts is coming from where? So much of corruption is carrying on. So are you promoting the cause of corruption or the cause of justice? The kuffar are looking forward to taking out your girls out of their homes, letting them be in the center of the streets, in the shops, in schools, etc. And then you're supporting that. And then you say, no, this sahabi did this and this. A huge treasure of human resources are being wasted. I mean, Nabi didn't know. When the Quran Sharif was being, karna fi buyuti kunna, stay in your house, they didn't know what was going on. Today now, you came up like a bright spark to teach Rasul Pakistan, Sahaba Ikram, where the woman's supposed to be, and where they got mixed up. And ask me, is that fair? Really, from the bottom of my heart, I'm saying, I fear the iman of these people, whoever it is. They're giving a total opposite direction to the community. They don't make tawbah in time, but I fear, really. They don't make tawbah in time. An open retraction, but what we're doing is wrong. We messed it up very badly. One time, Isa Brahman says that one of his murid was a doctor, right? And a very pious person. Very pious, righteous, upright. So, he was in the area. Some doctors are called out when we were small. So doctors used to be called out, you know. And they have that doctor's bag and all that. Now you hardly see that. Now you have to go see them in the rooms, right? Before they had that bag, and they're going, got on Khadim is coming to the house. So the doctor is in that area. So, say this man is in a bad way, come and see him. So our doctor's job, to go and see the person. So as he comes to see the patient, right? As he comes to see the patient, the patient is pleading with the doctor. The doctor is an Allah wala, a buzrug. Although he's a doctor, like how you get Dr. Abdul Hay, right? So he's a buzrug. He says, please, man, just stay here. The doctor said, I have to leave now. He said, no, please, just stay here. Don't move out of here. So what happened? Malaika came here with a box made of fire. And they warned me that they're going to push you inside, they're going to push me inside and take you to Jahannam. That's the warning they gave me. And we're just leaving because of this buzrug here. We are leaving this place because of this buzrug. This buzrug has come here out of respect for him, we are moving. But the moment he leaves, we're coming to get you. Then they tried to investigate what was the wrong. The wrong was he sided with the kuffar, joined hands with them. See, he's joining hands with these people here. That's not the style. In Surah Mujadala, look at the last verse. La tajidu. How clear that verse is. La tajidu qawman yu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhiri yuwaaduna man haddallah. People, you won't find a people that are true in their faith and they are loyal to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You won't see them loving those that are against Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Christians and Jews, whoever. They don't befriend them. And now you're saying, oh, you must befriend them, go to the church, take all the little children. Hey, واقعتاً مجھے ان کے ایمان کا خطرہ ہے. I'm really worried. Whoever is doing this, took that young girls into the church, I'm worried about the iman, what's going to happen. Now, if you think of that girl went into the church, right? And then something of the church attracted the child's heart. Phir uska kya hoga? What's going to happen to the child? And nobody feels anything about it. No, must keep the unity. Unity means that keep on through the straight path. وَعَتَسِيمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Whoever is diverted, who moved away from that path, by bringing, أَخِذُمْ, I'm grabbing you, by your forelock, bringing you back. That's the meaning of unity. Not that person is diverted, he is drifted, and we allow him to carry on like that. Is that unity? No. He's going to the fire, saying, oh, let him enjoy himself. Let us join up. So, Allah Pak said, you are duna man hadallah. You will never see them befriending those that break the loyalty with Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even though it can be their own fathers, Abaum or Abnaum or Ikhwanum, brothers, fathers and the family, right? And for this, what Allah Pak says, كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah Pak will bless them in three ways in this world. كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. He will write down iman in their hearts. It means that iman will be cast, like how you say cast in stone. When you say cast in stone, what it means? Permanent. It can't be obliterated, can't be rubbed out. So Allah Ta'ala Himself has written, كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. He's written, like how you say, وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ أَمْرًا مَقْدِيًّا. It's decreed, signed and sealed. No cancellations. So provided you show your alliance to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now the alliance, see what this chap is saying, that the whole march and the whole walk is towards the creation. And whereas they're supposed to be going towards, marching towards the Creator, who is saying this? New Muslim, brand new Muslim. He saw the both sides. And after he saw the both sides, he's saying, now see what they do. This is a new Muslim, and he's coming out from his mouth. And we don't feel anything about it. So we are trying to appease and attract the attention of people or Allah Ta'ala, who is the doer. What are we doing? So, يُوَعَدُونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَبَاهُمْ وَأَبْنَاهُمْ وَإِخْوَانَهُمْ. One is, كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ الْإِيمَانِ. Number two, وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. Allah Ta'ala is giving them, He'll support them with a special support, with a special spirit. He'll give them that motivation, that drive, you know. Are you feeling disinclined towards things? When you're showing your alliance and you're showing your loyalty with Allah Ta'ala, then Allah says, I'll be with you. I'll give you that support. Because you broke away from even your own family. Forget the Christians, the Jews, and the Hindus, whatever, right? Forget them. You showed that you have got your loyalty with me, deeply with me, right? What were these people there? Then, the second thing is, I'll give you a special support. And then the third thing, right, dunya, right? Ulaika Hizbullah, these are my people. Can you think of anything greater? Allah says, this is my man. Anything greater? Allah says, this is my man. Ulaika Hizbullah. And Allah, inna Hizbullahi mulufihun. The people of Allah Ta'ala must be victor, must win. The people of Allah Ta'ala, they must prevail. That is this dunya. And the akhirat, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. So you got it, your dunya set up, and akhirat, Allah has endorsed His permanent pleasure. Because if Allah Ta'ala endorses His pleasure for anybody, it can never be that He be displeased with them. But then you must show your alliance, who you stand with, who you stand for, who you stand with, at any given time, who you stand for and who you stand with, right? Now then, use this akabir by, really, it's an embarrassment to the person who did this. Talking about the Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, he stood for justice. Not for anything else. No, he stood for justice, to wipe out that injustice. There's a parliament session in Lucknow, right? Of Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, it's Nehru's time, right? And Nehru is complaining to Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, aap humare saron ke upar is kadar bojh dalte hai, ke hum usko utha nahi sakte. You're putting such a burden on us, that we can't manage it. He's talking about justice. Justice, whichever way. In India, we have a caste system, higher caste, low caste, all that. By why this thing all bring about justice? So he felt it too difficult when Maharaj spoke about this thing. He tried and he insisted that this justice. So Maharaj had his walking stick and he just turned that walking stick and said, straight in Nehru's face, that is the Prime Minister of India. I said, what he says? Hajjao is kursi se. Ye kursi naalo ke liye nahi hai. Get out of this seat. The seat is not meant for the people that don't deserve it. Now, any of these people, have they got the guts to do it? Huh? That person is making puja to some idol, they will respect that thing as well. That's the level they have gone to. And now you comparing yourself to this book, these people. I say, is that fair? Is that right? You putting a stain in all the achievements, all what they worked for, you stain the name, is it right? I say, they don't make tawbah, really, whoever it is, whoever has done this, they don't make sincere tawbah and an open retraction, really. Mere ji se dil se keh raha hu, iman ka khatra hai. This is, man aza li waliyan, faqad azantuhu bil harb. You join them up with Shias and Hindus, etc. So, if they heard this thing here, how would they have felt? Allah is warning you, you play with these people here, then I declare war against you. I ask you, if Allah Pak declares war with any person, can his iman be right? Can that person's iman be right when Allah Pak himself has declared war? So your direction is absolutely different. Quran Sharif is saying, stay at home. You say, no, get out of the house. And giving them a shabashi at the end of the year, compliments, congratulations for getting out of your house. Getting out of your house and doing all whatever stupid things, then compliments for you, congratulations for you. Allah Pak is saying that you don't befriend these people here. He said, no, you must befriend them. Go to the church, go to all these places here. When all the books of fiqh is got, that is the ma'abadu shayateen. It is the majma'u shayateen. These places here are the centers of shaitan. And now you're taking children to this type of places. I say, where's the iman gone? Where's the brains gone? Where's the understanding gone? And then you link yourself with these people here and say, oh, they did this. Really, it's not on at all. If someone spoke to you about your father, you know, your father, he used to come to the barman. He used to come to the brothel. Whatever his intention was, but he was a good-hearted person, he used to come to the brothel every now and then. I say, is it on? So all these people, they say, your father, you know, your mother, she used to go to the brothel. You know, every now and then she would come to the brothel. What a good woman she was. I say, is it appreciated? So you feel, you take exception when your mother's name is taken. And these people's name here, you're taking them with the Hindus, Shias and everything here, and sweeping them with the same brush. I say, is that right? Really, I feel that whoever said these words here, they must make tawbah. And if they don't do it, then I khatra hai unke iman ka. I've got a serious fear about the iman, what's going to happen to them. And why? For things to unravel, it's just a matter of time. Where's your allegiance? With money? Like this white chap, white Muslim is saying, they marching, they're walking towards the creation of others to appease them, to curry favor with them. And whereas the right way was to march towards Allah Ta'ala, how to attract the attention, how to attract the assistance, the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because of Umar radiallahu anhu, and when they ask for reinforcements, he said, no. He says, no, you go and check yourself, your intentions are all wrong. So the Amir of the Jamaat, he addressed the Sahaba Kiram. Your intentions are wrong. You saw this Alexandra, you saw it like a trade post.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
The same people were the victory. That's correcting. Allahu Akbar.